Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Thanks for joining us in the Shame Free Zone. I'm Veronica Monet. My special guest tonight is Francisco. He's calling us from Miami, Florida. And he's one of the bravest people I know because he's actually bringing real life dating dilemmas to the Shame Free Zone so that I can help him work on his relationship drama. So I think it takes a very, very brave person to put that out there. And Francisco, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being a part of the show, and thank you so much for bringing your authentic self. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm always thankful to be on the show.
I'm more than willing to share my dilemmas and hopefully kind of get answers and resolutions, and more than willing to kind of help someone out there have kind of like the same problem.
Well, that's the thing. I think we all have a lot of the same problems, so. It's the common human experience. And I know the last time we talked, which was a little less, I think it was about a month ago, not quite, but we talked about the fact that you were frustrated because women seem to be kind of putting you into the best friend box instead of thinking of you as romantic material.
Yeah, that's a pretty good analogy. I don't know if it's more that I don't put myself out there, that I don't show like the feelings that I actually really like them, and I'm trying to maybe not approach it too aggressively, and the result of that is me kind of falling into that like platonic friend relationship. It's ironically kind of almost happened to me again prior after we spoke last time about 3 weeks ago. I was looking to maybe try to maybe put myself out there a little more, someone that would not normally consider to try to maybe get into a relationship. I kind of found myself in that same position again. I was prior when I first met her, I actually had feelings for her, but initially kind of had all these insecurities and didn't really step up and really try to show that I liked them. So instead, I kind of just played it off, considered herself kind of out of my league, and kind of fell into that thing. I found myself wanting to maybe try to ask her out, and then she started talking about how she wanted to be with the next boyfriend, and I realized then and there I really had just fallen into that platonic friendship with her. Being honest with myself, I kind of felt that it was almost pushing it, that she had become that friend, and I didn't know whether I was kind of either fooling myself, I was being my own worst enemy, that I already did have friends with her, but I was kind of hiding it, actually just saying that she's really a friend, but not really. So how do you kind of perceive that maybe, that turn of events?
Well, I want to actually back up, if I may, and ask you a couple of questions for, you know, points of clarification. It sounded like you... thought at the very first thing you found yourself attracted to her, but then
correct.
You thought she was out of your league. Did I hear you right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, so you thought she was out of your league.
Right.
Can you tell me a little bit about why?
I just found her, initially I just found her very attractive, very smart, and kind of going back to my insecurities, and it kind of just flared up, and instead of really kind of that and convincing myself that it really that wasn't the case, I was just being my own worst enemy in a sense. Ironically, was it a couple nights ago, we had kind of gone out all out with a whole bunch of friends, And I actually saw her ex-boyfriend that she was talking about. And I saw her that this guy was, I don't want to say anything bad about him, but he was not very intelligent at all, kind of a bum, not really going anywhere with his life. And it kind of sad and made me kind of almost feel better about myself. I'm like, wow, I was really shooting myself in my own foot, kind of, in a way that I really, really did have a chance with this girl. And I think I was just, it was just kind of a realization that I was being my own worst critic and not really having confidence in myself.
But have you read my book at all?
Parts of it, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, there's a chapter called Sexy Is as Sexy Does, and I know that I wrote the book, Sex Secrets of Escorts Targeting Women, primarily, mm-hmm. but a lot of men have actually read this book and gotten quite a bit out of it. But the chapter mm-hmm. about Sexy Is as Sexy Does really talks about how, you know, we kind of get confused, and we think that, you know, what makes us sexy is maybe how much money we have if we're a man, or how beautiful we are physically if we're a woman. And sex appeal is so much more about confidence. It's about the way you mm-hmm. carry yourself, but it's also about the energy that's coming right. off you. And, talking to you repeatedly as I have, I'm starting to think that maybe the primary issue for you is really one of confidence. Now, of course, it turns into a chicken and an egg thing because, you know, you get shot down a couple of times and it shakes your confidence. And the right. less confident you feel, the more times you're going to get shot down. So it just mm-hmm. becomes a vicious cycle.
Right.
But, you know, I think that's real important that you're cueing into the fact that whatever fantasies you had about what kind of a man this woman would be worthy of and how you might not measure up to that, were in fact fantasies.
Right.
And a lot of times this will be really disconcerting for men because they'll realize that they've got the intelligence and the bank account and the manners and the love of women, and, you know, they may have just a million things going for them, but some guy comes along and, you know, he's really successful with the women and he doesn't have any of that stuff going for him. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, well, what's up with that guy? And, you know, if both genders respond to confidence, which they do, I think it's my opinion that women respond to it even more so.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we could go into all the evolutionary and biological reasons for that, but, you know, suffice to say, that's just the way it is right now, that women tend to gravitate towards men who exude confidence.
Right.
So it is very difficult, and we associate masculinity with this concept of confidence too.
Mm-hmm.
So when a man doesn't, you know, come across as confident, a lot of times he's not perceived as being fully masculine either. And women pay, you know, they put a high emphasis on a premium on that. But, you know, that's neither wrong nor right or in between. It just is. And, of course, the thing is, you know, if we were living a couple hundred years ago, or let's take it back to, you know, the Renaissance period, then men would have been putting a high premium on women being dumb and docile, which doesn't mean if you were born back then in the 17th century that you were female that you would necessarily want to become dumb and docile just because that's what most men were going for at that time. But so you have to find your own truth in this, and the first thing you have to realize is, you know, what country are you in, what customs predominate, get some sense of the culture and what people respond to, what they're most likely going to be attracted to. If we were living in a, you know, an Islamic country right now today, virginity for women would be really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was just watching a documentary today about a young woman who was talking about what she would look for in a husband. She was looking for who is his family and how much money does he make and how stable is he and those sort of things. Some of those things sound universal, and some cultures place more of a emphasis on certain aspects than other cultures. So if you can find some way to separate your ego from gathering empirical data about your situation, it kind of helps you, you know, detach a little bit and say, well, first of all, let's just figure out what is. Who am I? How am I? What kind of personality do I have? And then how do people respond to that in the culture that I live in? If I don't like this culture, maybe I want to move to another one. But, or maybe I don't want to bend to the culture. I just want to stay stubbornly who I am, and that's okay too. But then let's not get too bitter or upset about the fact that we narrow the playing field for ourselves because we're not conforming to cultural expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. It's ironic because you mentioned how the culture differences, and I've noticed a very culture difference just between my area of Miami. Women just tend to be very kind of cold. I don't want it to be cold. I don't know if it's either them just not wanting to kind of show emotion and not really to want to communicate clearly when I first meet them. And I noticed it because when other women kind of come down from, meet someone else from another city or another part of the country, they tend to be a lot more open. And I've almost every single time, like, oh, you're not from around here. And she was almost 9 out of 10 times, like, no, I'm X and X wherever. And I feel that there's a very, in Miami is a very, high emphasis on what you're exactly talking about on confidence. You mean I think it's put extremely, extremely high. Very in this culture of Miami and in this club scene and this people over here, it's almost kind of a borderline kind of cockiness. And I think that's going back to something you were saying before, I think, and also in the previous time we're talking about, kind of gender roles and having to living up to the, to gender roles. How I was perceiving is that you can live your own life and attract the people you want to live by being your, living your way, but just how you're saying, you kind of narrowing your own field and almost, limiting yourself and almost don't want to live in that bitterness. I am kind of trying to find that balance. I want to be who I am but at the same time, I don't want to just completely confine myself. And that sometimes the flaring of bitterness and kind of jadedness I do get sometimes when I don't find the relationship I want to find. And I don't know where to go, because I remember you even speaking of yourself when you were in college, that when you weren't living up to gender roles, you weren't getting any any relationship whatsoever. But immediately when you were starting to play into them, people were starting to be attracted to you. So I'm trying to find that balance in that.
Yeah, well, for myself, I learned how to play the game very well, and I learned how to turn it into a full-time profession. But it did not appeal to me at all when it came to falling in love and getting married. I found somebody who could accept me as I was, not as I pretended to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because I can't come home to a lie. I just can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'm not saying that everything I put out there as an escort was a lie, but I am saying that there were certain aspects of myself that I knew to keep more hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of those is just the fact that I carry a lot of masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not real sellable material when you're playing escort. It is if you're going to be very intelligent and practice debating, you know. So in that sense, in the tradition of the ancient courtesans, you get to debate with men and be very uppity and cocky, more like a man. And
mm-hmm.
you're rewarded a great deal and paid a great deal of money to have that personality as a courtesan. Not as a wife, just as a courtesan. But in my marriage, I chose to be with somebody who has a nice balance of masculine and feminine attributes, so that my balance between masculine and feminine attributes play very well together. There's
mm-hmm.
not this need for either one of us to try to be, you know, uber male or uber female in one direction
right.
or another. We have,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that that was a difficulty for me as, you know, a college co-ed was, you know, that I liked porn. Can you imagine? In the 1980s, there were men who didn't want to go out with a girl because she liked porn.
Mm-hmm. That's hard to believe.
Isn't it hard to believe? I mean, now porn's so widespread, you know, it's mainstream, and lots of girls look at porn, and everybody looks at porn, but in the 80s, that was a good way not to get a date if you were a girl.
times have changed.
Well, they do, but here's the thing, and they will change again.
Right.
So if you can see, again, you know, I was very angry that things were the way they were in the 80s, and I can hear that, you know, you're angry that things are the way they are now in 2009.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that I think is really important to remember is that women started having a feminist movement in the 70s.
Okay.
And in the 70s, we started saying, we want to broaden our roles. We want to wear jeans and pants, suits, and we want to get jobs, and we want to, you know, raise our kids, but also be able to take them to daycare or babysitters, and we don't want to have to be stuck in the kitchen or doing the laundry. Men haven't really had any of that. Men really haven't had a cohesive movement that says, look, you know, we're well aware of the fact that 50% of the domestic violence being perpetrated is perpetrated by women. And we're sick and tired of the fact that there's no shelters for men, and there's no help for men, and there's no sympathy for men, and some men are getting beat up and even murdered by their wives, and nobody gives a damn.
Mm-hmm.
There's no men having a movement saying, you know, we're tired of paying for everything, and feeling like if I don't pay for everything, then I'm some kind of a cheapskate schmuck. There's no movement saying that we're tired of being responsible for women's orgasms. You know, why don't you girls take responsibility for your own orgasms? There's no movement that is saying that it shouldn't be our responsibility to fight the wars and do all the dying. There's a small movement for men who are trying to get fathers' rights, but they are mostly just completely laughed out of any court of, you know, public opinion. Like, you know, men start talking about fathers' rights, they are just lampooned. And I saw something on TV recently where some fathers were trying to say that, you know, men don't have the right to their children. It's like, no, and you don't deserve it either. And shut up. So that's kind of where men are right now. They're not really empowered to speak up and say, we need a new thing here. Men want to be, balanced and fully empowered too.
But just how you were saying, though, it's, will women respond to that? Would women be okay with being a man doing all those things? Or
No, they would not. They would not at this particular time in history. Just as in the, you know, I was born in 1960, and I may not have been working or even in college yet in the 70s, but I certainly remember the arguments as a young girl. I got to see them on TV and played out in my own living room, and, you know, family members have all these arguments about what women are allowed to do and everything. I remember, you know, as a 15-year-old telling my dad that I wanted to have a job and I wanted to have rights, and he flat out told me, you will never, ever attract a man. No man will ever want to be with you as long as you have that kind of an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was wrong because time changed. But had things stood still and not changed with my generation, then he would have been right.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first got to college, it looked like Dad was going to be right. It really did. So, no, you know, and this is, I think, again, this would be like one of the issues that I see that men have right now. Women have done most of the changing, and men are like going, what do women want?
Mm-hmm.
How do we make our women happy? Well, that's the wrong question. Men need to be asking themselves, what do we want? How do we make ourselves happy?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the old answer that men came up with is, oh, well, we'll be happy if we can control the women. Well, that's done. Women are not going to be controlled anymore. So it's up to men to get their own emotional life. You know, a lot of men out there don't even know what they feel. They only know what their girlfriend or their wife feels.
Yeah.
So Do I think you can be a fully liberated, progressive, conscious man and find yourself immediately attractive to the opposite sex? Probably not. Now, there's some progressive, fully conscious women out there, though, who would think you were fabulous and jump at the opportunity to spend time with you.
But it's very limited, and I've been trying to find those women, and I've been running into dead ends and kind of left scratching my head all over the place. So I'm kind of in the position I really need to start kind of changing the ways I really am, because it's not working.
Well, okay. So here's another thing I'd like to talk to you about, though.
Okay.
First of all, I want to warn you. Okay, fine. You can change how you are. I did, and it works. But you won't respect the people. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
You'll be like, going, okay, well, these simple-minded people are falling for this show. I mean, they think this is who I am, and so they love me, you know?
But is that better than nothing?
You know what? It's good to know. It's good to go through it, to get to the other side and realize that maybe it's better to have nothing than to have to pretend to be somebody that you're not. But it's also, you know, sure, of course, it's fun to go out on dates, even if you're, it depends on, you know, if you're wanting to get serious with somebody and spend the rest of your life with them, or if you just want to go out and have fun. If you want to just go out and have fun, I say try on a lot of hats. Try on a lot of personalities. Because, you know, while you are young and unattached, you can have a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, and, that's how I kind of want to perceive it. It's I am young. I'm looking to leave my city for right in about a year and a half, maybe graduating, going on to another school, and possibly another school from there, and traveling after that. So I have really no ambition for a strong, long-lasting relationship. I mean, I'm looking. It sounds bad, but I'm looking for a good time. I want someone that is kind of somewhat little stress-free, because my focus really is school right now, and just an enjoying relationship. But I keep on falling into that. I really can't fake it. It's the problem. Like, I try to put on those faces, but I think women really just see through that. And
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, women are a tough sell. They really are. Women scare the hell out of me, because I can't fool them either.
Maybe I'm asking the wrong person for advice then.
Yeah, I know. You need to find a guy who knows how to snow women. But I would like to ask you a little bit about this idea that you're saying you just want to go have a good time. And yet, at the beginning of the hour, you talked about meeting somebody that you wanted to try to have a relationship with.
Well, I wasn't looking to try to maybe for a long time, but relationship as in maybe going out and enjoying each other, not necessarily like a relationship.
So, but I really believe that the way people talk reflects the way they think, and the way they think has a way of shaping our reality.
Okay.
So I'd just like to invite you to clean up your thinking a little bit. Now, you can think anything you want, but I want you to be really cognizant of what you are thinking and how you're talking to yourself, because it will play out in the real world. People will get a sense of, oh, wow, this guy's kind of moving a little too fast. He seems a little too eager. He seems to want more than I would want to have. And so then how can I put the brakes on and go, hey, whoa, you're scaring the hell out of me? And one way to do that, of course, is to bring out the boyfriend thing. You know, I know, I'll talk to you about other men. That'll put you in your place.
Well,
you're the guy I call up when the other ones break my heart. But, so, when I'm listening to you talk, I get the sense that you are overly eager and a little bit desperate.
I think, yes, I think I am a little desperate. I'm eager, but I don't think I show that. I think, I don't, I'm not showing them at all that I actually love them, not just simply talking to them. That's why I think I've fallen into that platonic.
I don't know. You might not be, but I think you are.
Think I am?
Well, otherwise,
how would I come across as eager, though?
Well, see, that's the thing.
Unconsciously.
You're thinking about what am I doing, and what I'm trying to get you to think about is what am I thinking. And here's a really good reason. Do you ever watch the, maybe I mentioned this last time, it's like Cesar Millan has a show called The Dog Whisperer.
Yeah.
And he talks about how dogs they don't know what you're saying, they just know what you're doing and they pay attention to your energy, right?
Okay.
So, women are not dogs. Let's not get confused here. I am not even suggesting that women are like dogs. But I am saying that we women have a little more access to our intuition than men do. I personally think mm-hmm. men are born with just as much intuition. I don't think it's female intuition. I think it's just intuition. But, mm-hmm. you know, a woman can operate a hammer and a nail, too, but some of them don't know how because they've never been exposed to it. And
right.
by the same token, a lot of men have been trained away from their intuition.
Okay.
So here you go, trying to deal with a very intuitive creature. Because of that, it becomes really difficult to focus on, well, what did I say and do to the exclusion of, like, what am I feeling? Because she's probably going to pick up on what you're feeling more than what you're saying and doing.
Okay.
Can you move the phone just a tiny bit away from your mouth?
Okay. Is that enough?
That's good. We were just getting a little bit of feedback. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Francisco.
Sorry about that.
So when you're talking to a woman or just interacting with a woman, she's paying a lot of attention to the feelings. Now, not all women, but these are all generalizations, and again, they're all culturally specific. But in general, in most cultures, women are paying a lot of attention to body language, voice inflection, eye contact. They're super, super, you know, attentive to all of those details. So if you're
okay.
feeling insecure or desperate, probably going to pick up on it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about why you're desperate.
Why am I desperate? Because to be honest, I'm lonely. I mean, all I do every day is my head is in books. I study hard. Yeah, I go out with friends every now, hang out with my friends, but I mean, it's not fulfilling. I mean, a year and a half ago, I was with, in a really strong relationship, and I was having the best time of my life with her, and yeah, that ended. I've moved on, and I'm kind of looking forward to, enjoying time with someone, and I'm just kind of like stuck in limbo, and it's kind of, I'm just looking to, enjoy sex and enjoy, someone I can have a good time with, and.
Well, Francisco. It's been a year
mm-hmm.
and a half?
Yes.
How long were you guys together?
About 7 months.
Yeah. Were you in love?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. What have you done to grieve that?
I don't, like, to move on? I don't know.
I'm getting a big hit off of this one. I mean, a red flag's going up for me. It's probably going to be hard for you to move on because I think you're still very emotionally attached to that person. And I don't think you have grieved the relationship. It's more like you're forcing yourself to move on. Sounds like I have this job. I have to move on.
I believe it's been long enough time that I don't necessarily think about her at all, and I'm not going to lie that it was very hard when we did break up. It was not necessarily out of we were fighting or anything like that. It was just simply out of distance. So it was a little initially hard to get over, just get closure over that, but I don't feel that it's something that I carry on anymore. For a while there, for maybe 5-6 months, I believe it was, but I think I've maybe kind of stepped away from that. Sometimes I do think about it and I reminisce, but I don't feel that it's something I kind of always carry on. I think maybe it's more of the lines of what you were saying before, that I am kind of eager. I feel like I'm ready just to kind of get out of this slump, and kind of in a way that, and I think this woman kind of sense a little bit of the eagerness, and I can't really hide that fact, and kind of push away from that. I think that's maybe, that's how I feel the situation is.
Well, I know, but your analysis of your situation, is it getting you anywhere?
No, it isn't.
So I would just ask you to open up your mind
okay.
to some new information. I, as a woman who is interacting with you, get a real big energetic hit that this guy is still, if he's not hung up on his girlfriend, he's really heartbroken that the relationship ended or that he doesn't have a relationship like that one. There's something, some wounding in there. There's something wounded.
Because you know what? It really was such an amazing high when I was with her. I mean, I was with her halfway across the world, living in Barcelona with her. It was just me and her having the best time of our lives for so long. It really was like almost living a fantasy. It really was like amazing. It was one of the best times of my life. And it has been hard. You mean? And sometimes you think about it, like, I just wish I would want, not necessarily something like that again, but it's, I feel like when I was finally over, there really was this huge emotional void in me that, I got so much enjoyment by giving myself to someone fully. And now that it's just gone, I feel a little empty. So it's not necessarily her. It's just like the emotional void of actually having like a deep connection with someone that I missed.
Do you know what I think? Have you thought about getting involved in something that you would be passionate about? As far as, I mean, right now the world's in a lot of trouble. I mean, you know, we're having mm-hmm. rough economic times. We're having problems with our food supply and with the environment mm-hmm. and with energy. And there's just all kinds of opportunities to get involved in making the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you've thought about possibly finding something where you're helping and creating something, some good in the world. This is often a beautiful way that people can fill that emptiness that you're talking about. You know, a relationship really long-term, if your relationship becomes that enmeshed, it's probably going to burn out anyway. So this is not just a skill to learn or a coping mechanism for until I get a relationship. This would actually be a really important part of being in a happy, healthy, long-term relationship, is mm-hmm. learning how to have passion outside of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually, It might seem that way, but I actually feel like I do have a passion now. I mean, the reason why I'm in school and studying history and studying political science and studying biology and evolution all these different things, because I want to become a professor in university and write books that will help for the future in the study of political science. How do we move forward? How do we work with other countries? How do we work with ourselves? How does the past reflect ourselves? So I feel like I really do have a life work that I see myself ahead of me. I feel that a little lost, because I do have that emotional void, and I'm trying to kind of quench that, but I really do have this passion and drive for the future and to help people out. That's just an instinct of me. Anytime I meet someone I really care about, it always becomes like a we more than an I. I mean, I don't know. I feel life and people, life is just so hard. So if I can just lend out a helping hand, certain people really appreciate it. And I don't know, that makes me happier than anything else. So I think in a relationship, I'm a very, very giving person. I mean, 'cause I just want to show that I mean, life's not really so hard. You can just take a stop and enjoy it. So, I mean, that's just how naturally I am. So that doesn't really translate well.
What are you actually doing?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm finishing my BA in history. I'm looking to get my master's and PhD in history and political science.
Okay. So tell me that again. Like, let's pretend you're just meeting me for the first time.
Okay.
And I ask you, Francisco, hey, it's cool to meet you. What do you do?
What I do? Well, usually, I don't know. A lot of times I kind of shy away from saying those things because people don't understand it, because people think, oh, what about money? What about these things? And it turns people off. So I just, I'm just getting finishing up my BA in history. And I usually try to open up with those things, but I feel like it kind of comes across as like corny and like it's fake for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah. That's an insecurity or self-consciousness.
Right.
It certainly doesn't express confidence, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's a matter of coming into who you are and being comfortable with that and feeling that, you know, you have something to offer and being able to project that. One of the things that I think would be helpful is if maybe you can get away from vague generalities, because it's like this, you know, if people ask me in the beginning, like 4 years ago when I left escorting and I started working with people about their relationship drama and relationship repair, people ask me what I do and I go, well, you know, that's a good question. I help people over the phone. I say that, right? And people are like, oh, okay.
Right.
You know? And I struggled with this, and eventually I started saying, well, I help people change the channel on their love life. And that was kind of catchy, but it's a little too salesman-y, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, well, how do you express who you are? I mean, have you ever heard of the thing you're like, they call it the elevator moment?
No, I think you kind of guessed maybe what it is, but I've never heard of it.
No, it would be like you have a big project, you're looking for a funder, or you have a movie script and you're looking for somebody to produce your movie, or you have a book and you want somebody to publish it. This moment where you meet the person who's going to help launch your big professional dream, and you're stuck in the elevator with them, or you're only going to have like maybe 3 to 10 floors. How do you tell them in just a few seconds what your big thing is that's going to save the world?
Yeah.
So it's a good thing to practice sometimes. And the thing is that relationships is a form of sales. It requires a certain amount of salesmanship. But the first person that you have to sell is you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe in your product, and you are your product. So, you know, it's like, okay, you want to go out and have fun. That's what you're selling is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to be a fun person. You know, you can't be the person who's looking for fun.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be the person who supplies the fun. You can't be the person who is looking to for somebody to help them stop feeling lonely.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be the person who shows up to help people, other people, stop feeling lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you want to give what you want to receive. That's the only way it's going to come to you. Because if you're going out interacting with people with the attitude of getting something from them, like, you'll make me feel fulfilled, or I'll feel less lonely, or I'm going to get sex from you. It'll work some of the time with some people, but usually only if they're drunk. So if you happen to actually have conscious sex partners, I would advise you to bring something to the table. Ask yourself, what can I give? What can I bring to this? You know, when I had my very first television show, I was so nervous. And the more I thought about how nervous I was, the more nervous I got. And then one day, while I was sitting there chewing my fingernails and getting all nervous and thinking, oh, my God, I've got 5 minutes before the show starts. I looked over, and I was interviewing this police sergeant. And this poor guy was smoking a cigarette and chewing gum at the same time. He was a nervous wreck. There were beads of sweat coming off of his forehead. And I thought, that guy is about ready to have a nervous breakdown. And the minute I got out of me and started focusing on how afraid and how nervous he was, I realized I felt better. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking for that stuff. Every time I get ready to do a show, I would look for the nervousness in my guests, and I would make it my job to find ways to make them feel less nervous. And the wonderful thing that happened, of course, is not only were my guests less nervous so they could actually talk about the thing they had come to talk about, but I started enjoying doing the show. Mm-hmm. So is there some way that you could help the women that you're interested in? What could you do for them?
What could I do for them?
Yeah.
I think I can be a very good, a great guy for a great guy for someone. You mean
that's
I'm
too vague. It's too vague. I want
you
to think specific. What can
specific.
You do? Can you cure her boredom? If so, how?
Cure her boredom.
Yeah. She bored? How can you make her not bored?
I think I have a good sense of humor and I'm very smart. I can talk. I can have a lot to say about a lot of different things.
Here's the kind of specifics I'd like you to think about. Like you get out a piece of paper and you think five problems that the women I want to date probably have. Maybe feeling like the guy only wants to go out with her to have sex with her. That might be a big one for a lot of women.
Okay.
Maybe worrying that if she has sex on the first date, she's going to be considered a slut and somebody's going to find out. That
mm-hmm.
could be another big one. Maybe feeling like she can't afford to go somewhere and she wishes somebody take her somewhere because she can't afford it. Well, it's not a totally unfair proposition. Women still are making 75 cents to each dollar a man makes, so you might consider picking up some of the tab. I don't know. Might go against your enlightened self. And if it does,
not at all.
I'm throwing stuff out there. You don't have to spend a dime to help somebody have fun. But you need specifics. Like, you know, do I want to take her to a ball game? Do I want to take her to a movie? Do I want to go to some kind of a club, and you think about things where you feel like you shine, stuff that I'm good at, you know, like maybe I'm a good dancer or I'm really good at horseback riding. So I want to, you know, orchestrate my dates so that I can show off these things that are, you know, really charming about me. And also I'll end up having a good time. If something happens, I don't really like spending time with this person. At least I'll be doing something I enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But do you see what I'm saying? You think about, okay, well, you know, probably these women are afraid of something, or they're bored about life, or they're frustrated. Maybe they need somebody to listen to their problems. I don't want to become the best friend. The best friend does nothing but listen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what about women who are sexually frustrated and wish the guy would make the first move? Can you fix that for them?
I want to try to make that first move, but I really I'm always scared to be that showing that I'm too eager. And I'm
right.
always kind of trying to, in that internal battle, and I think they see that, in me, because she's saying that they're very intuitive, and I think they see that, because I want to show that, I like them, but not too much, but at the same time, internally I have this kind of eager desperation, so it's just kind of this whirlwind of conflicting feelings and thoughts, and I'm kind of paralyzed not to really do anything. So I choose the path of like least resistance, and I choose to really just sit there and listen and talk and be very just kind of platonic. I can sit there and talk to anybody about anything and have a good time and enjoy laughter, but I don't really show, express that I actually like them more than just simply just talking to them.
Well, then why would I have any incentive to do anything but make you a best friend?
Why?
Yeah, if I don't even know you're sexually interested in me, then I guess you're my best friend.
That's what, I don't know how to show that.
Okay. Specifics. Have you ever tried to put your arm around a girl?
Yeah.
How did it feel? Did it feel natural? Did something good happen out of it?
Oh man, I don't like kind of scratching my head here. I don't know. I think they kind of just don't get that sense that I like them when I do that. Even when I do that.
How do you know?
I don't know.
Do they pull away?
No, they just sit there and talk. Well, that one particular last girl, she would just sit there and talk to me, and crack jokes and have a good time. But it didn't seem like it's in her mind at all that I'm actually like them.
And the whole time you had your arm around her.
I'm sorry, the whole time? No, just maybe for a moment.
For a moment you had your arm around her?
Right.
And then you pulled your arm back?
I think she might have walked away to talk to someone or something like that.
Ah, okay. Well, it's not like everybody's going to appreciate this, but here's the thing. If you're going to make any progress with women, you have to make the first move. Now, how dare I say that, huh? But sweetheart, I've dated women, so I can say that. And I have to tell you something. You've got to be willing to get shot down. One time, I was trying to pick up on this girl in a bar. She was a girl that I worked with, and I told her. I asked her back to my place, and she said, "Let me get this straight. You're talking about you and me going back to your place to have sex." And I go, "Yeah." And my eyes. I was super drunk. And she says, "That's just sick." And she, fortunately, she didn't throw her drink in my face, but she stormed out of the bar. And then I had to go face her at work the next day. That was really embarrassing. Another time, there was this young lady who was, she was my roommate's daughter, and I had such a big crush on her. And I waited and I waited and I waited. I waited like a full year, and we flirted and flirted and flirted, and she was a really flirtatious young lady, let me tell you. So I felt like it just played this up till I couldn't stand it anymore. And so, you know, we were standing out in the parking lot one time. We were talking. She was pretty close to me, and I just pulled her closer and gave her a very romantic kiss. I didn't get the response that I wanted. She said, "That was interesting." But, you know, here's the thing. This happens a few times, and you start to realize that this is just part of being the person who asks people out. You know, if I don't want to make the first move, then I can date lesbians and stop hitting up on the straight girls, because the straight girls are not going to ask me out. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're dating girls who are very, you know, heterosexually identified, and maybe in the old paradigm where girls don't ask guys out, which I think is still kind of the cultural norm right now. I mean, you know, I watch the movies, and what I see in the movies is that men are still making most of the first moves, and that's kind of how people identify their dating reality, as they watch the TV or the movie and go, "Well, that's the perfect romantic moment. That's what I'm expecting. I want that perfect romantic moment." Well, the perfect romantic moment is the guy sweeping you off your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's not, let's say 5 years from now, everything in the world changes, and now it's the girls that are going to sweep the guys off their feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, today, I tell you, I still recommend it as a confidence builder. Because after I got turned down a few times and embarrassed and humiliated and, you know, sent back with my tail between my legs, I started realizing I'm still alive. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
And you go back and you try it again. And eventually, you meet somebody who's happy that you are making that move.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is that too much?
No, I think that's kind of where I'm at right now. I think I have to work on my elevator moment and my self-pitch. You know, I think
Your elevator moment and your what?
And the sales pitch. What am I selling? What essentially? What am I selling to them? You mean, am I curing their boredom, or who? And what am I selling to them? So I think being confident with them. I think I'm slowly getting better. I just think
Let me tell you something. You can't just be confident. That's not going to happen. What you have to do is a mixture of things. You've got to first of all figure out how you can help other people. Really seriously, you know, that's a big deal. And I'm not just talking about go make the world a better place. I'm talking about, okay, when you're dating, think about these are people. You know, they get bored, they get scared, they get lonely too. They get horny. They have all kinds of desires. They may not necessarily want what you want when you want it, but there must be something that they want that you can help them get. And that's a good way to approach any relationship with another human being.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes you out of the role of being needy. And it takes you away from that energy where you're trying to get something from them, which most people are very suspicious of. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then second of all, yes, I think your elevator moment is more about, it's really about being sold on who you are so that when you talk about yourself, you're excited. See, you should be excited about you. Otherwise, it's really hard for other people to be excited about you.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to making a first move, boy, that's really just about being willing to make some mistakes and get rejected. Because if you're not willing to get rejected, then it's going to be really hard to get out there. But once you do it, I guarantee you, it will start. That is what will build confidence.
And it's interesting how you mentioned that, because I look back on the recent situation, and I met this one girl. She was coming out of armed society with me, and I'd known her from high school a long time ago, but I barely even recognized her. She recognized me, and we were just talking for a long time. We had a really good conversation. I thought she was liking me, and then she actually offered me to. Were trying to convince me to go on a trip down south to the Keys. It was all the whole entire honor society was going to go down and listen to some lectures and spend the time down in the Keys, in Key West.
Cool.
And she was convincing me to go. She should go. I'm like, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to go. I think it was a good time. And the whole time talking to her over the text, she said she seemed like she's very encouraged for me to go. And I'm excited to go. So when I finally get there, completely different person. Like a light switch was off. Almost to the point that like ignored me, and I was scratching my head. What's going on? She ended up bumping to one of her ex boyfriend's friends down in the Keys, and she was just running off and talking to him the whole entire time. So I'm like, oh well, great. Another situation where I'm trying to make the first steps and trying to talk to him, and then it just kind of fell into that kind of scenario.
Well, Francisco, this is a really terrible time to leave you in the lurch here, but we're running out of time. I got to get off the air. Can I just leave you with one thought?
Okay.
When you're first putting yourself out there and you're getting those rejections, that we have a tendency to take it all personally. It has everything to do with me. I must have done something wrong. There's something wrong with me. And, you know, most of what's going on in the world has nothing to do with you at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear she changed her mind or something. But, you know, don't take it personally. Just move on. And I know that's easier said than done. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But can I just leave
you with one?
Huh?
Go ahead. Yeah, I just feel like I'm just constantly going on and on and on. Like,
I know.
Okay,
I know.
All right.
That's because most of that stuff is still constantly going on in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking that stuff about you before it happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We could talk about that a month from now if you want to check back in.
sounds good. I'm more one.
Yeah, we'll talk about how you feel about yourself, because I think that's really the next important step here, is to talk about how you feel about yourself. And
okay.
I think you are a sweet, sexy guy, and I'm in your corner. Okay?
All right, thank you. I appreciate it again for everything. I appreciate the time. I'm looking forward to next time.
No problem. Me too. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.